Well, we're looking at the Scriptures, and we see that the Scriptures define the family. Husband, wife, children. That's what we read about, right? Husband, wife, children. Talked about the wives, talks about the husband. And then I read into chapter 6 up to verse 4 because I wanted to include the whole family. Because that's what it is. It's husbands, wives, children. It's very basic. It's easy to understand. I mean, doesn't take it rocket scientist, right? Or rocket science to understand what the family is. Nothing is complicated when we bring the standard of the Scriptures in on the definition. God creates man in His image. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1 and chapter 2, God speaks this world into existence, does it by His power. He takes nothing and makes everything. Absolutely incredible. Amen? You say, well, that's just too simple to believe. I'm just that simple, I believe it. Amen? Oh, yeah. And so, and then God takes man and creates him out of the dust of the ground. That's why we say a lot of times, I'm going to dust you off good, right? Because we're just dusty people. We're dust, and that's where we are. He breathes into that dust, that pile of dust, the breath of life, and He creates man, and his name's Adam, right? Basic lesson here. You know where I'm going. So then God has to convince Adam that he's alone. So Adam names all the animals, and male and female, and he realizes, hey, I'm alone. And then God brings a sleep on him, performs the first surgery, takes a rib out of his side, makes a woman, and he presents this woman to Adam. And that must have been a tremendous presentation. Can you imagine God saying, Adam, why don't you show up at such and such a place? I have a presentation for you, right? You know, we work real good on presentations. Young people gave a presentation today. I'd say you studied a little bit for that presentation, correct? Right. I seen Bob was very organized, very detailed. Scared me a little bit when he said in closing, and then he looked at me and said, that's what pastors say, right? I thought, where's he going with this, okay? But he did great. Don't you think they did a wonderful job today? They really did. So God presents to Adam Eve, and I'm sure he went, wow, right? Oh, yeah. Can you imagine God created? He said, you know what? This has come out of me, and so it's woman. And then you know what the next passage says after that? Next passage says after that, that a man shall leave his family and cleave unto his wife, right? I know I'm just paraphrasing it. So there you have God in the Garden of Eden establishing the family, right? You have a husband and you have a wife. The fall takes place, and it's not too long after the fall that children arrive into the relationship. And so then we have Cain and Abel and the whole thing there. So now you have husband, wife, and you have children. You realize this, the same passage, just chasing a little rabbit here today, the same passage declares our origin. Genesis chapter 1 says, verse 1, in the beginning, the Big Bang took place. That's what it says, right? No, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so, now, watch this. I'm simple enough to believe that that's exactly what happened. Amen? Now, in our day, would you not say, and this is my introduction, wouldn't you say that the family structure is under attack? Wouldn't you say so? I mean, I'm preaching to the choir here, you know. I realize that. The family structure is under attack. I mean, you realize this. Our own Supreme Court, which you say, well, those are just men in robes and they're wrong. The Supreme Court reflects the conscience of our nation, okay? Let's not blame those, nine of them? Is there nine of them? Is that what it is? There's eight right now, but they're going to fill that one. They've asked me, and I said, I don't know if I can squeeze it into my schedule, okay? So just want to let you know that. If you're praying for me, I just don't know if I can get it in my schedule. I'm sure. You know, the White House calls me all the time. They really don't like me, but maybe I should call them more, right? Well, I'm sorry. Now the black helicopters are going to fly around my house all stinking week. See, I told you, they're flying over right now. They're going, hear that. Okay. He's doing it again. It reflects the conscience of our nation. And here's what happened is they're redefining marriage. Well, they can redefine it all they want to, but they can't change it. Amen? God says, I created man, I created woman, and this is our home. So as we celebrate the family, we're celebrating our origin in the beginning, God. And that's been under attack too, has it not been? Can you imagine that? We all come from apes. Well, I know some people that resemble apes a little bit. Nobody in you. But I've met a couple people that look like they just come out of the jungle. But that's kind of a stretch. And they're always looking for the missing link, right? I think we found the missing link. Well, we found this bone fragment. Okay, I found plenty of bone fragments when I was a kid, because all you got to do is eat chicken, throw it out, and let the cat get in it and drag it around. You got a bone fragment, right? You might say, well, you're making fun of them, but I'll tell you what, it ain't too far off from what they do. Conjecture comes into a lot, and people with very vivid imaginations. I love to have my grandson around because he just has a wonderful imagination, and we're pretending all the time. And I just love that. A five-year-old, you just love to pretend, right? He was racing the cars on our coffee table the other night, and it was the biggest race of the year, and there was a big pile up, and then I had to tell him how many cars survived the crash. And so we had NASCAR circuit right in the living room. I could smell the gas and everything, right? So, but you know, what happens is this, is a lot of times, people that are talking about this stuff have very vivid imaginations. So now man questions where he came from, but we know where he came from. We know what the family is. And so you say, well, are we going to celebrate the family? Well, yeah. But just think about how much our world has just changed in our lifetime. I've already said marriage has been redefined by our Supreme Court. And now watch this. Now, I'm going to get a little closer to home, okay? I would say this, that the rules, not rules, R-U-L-E-S, but the rules, R-O-L-E-S. You understand what I'm saying? The rules in our family have been changed to the point where when we read a passage like this, even us in church, we in church, what's the proper English there? I'm looking to you guys. You guys ought to know. I don't. I'm 62. It's too late to learn English for me now. But watch this. That even in church, we get a little ouchy when we start talking about the roles in our home, don't we? Come on now. I don't hear anybody going, amen. Maybe we ought to say, oh my. Watch this. Different movements in our nation and in our world have crept even into the thinking of Christians. You can't live in this world without having some of it wear off on us. And what happens is this, is then the church condescends to them. The church brings our teaching. Well, Pastor, you want to stay away from that because you know what's going to happen. What's going to happen is you're going to get people upset. Well, what about the roles in our families? Because that's what we're talking about. When we celebrate mom, it's always wonderful to celebrate mom, is it not? I don't know who doesn't love their mother. Come on now, amen? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And then we get to dads, that's a little different because, see, when we get older, we stink more, right? Stuff like that. But no, watch this, is that when we celebrate Mother's Day and Father's Day, I don't think it's a celebration until we consider what makes them who they are. Because it's what the roles that they have in our lives that endears them to us. The mothering just has that mothering aspect that did you notice in the passage that I read in Ephesians, it never tells a wife to love her husband. Did you ever notice that? You read that over once. It's not there. It doesn't say, wives, love your husbands. I might be going on. But it admonishes men over and over and over to love their wives, right? That's what it does. You know why? Because we get caught up in things sometimes. And we are given an explanation of why we ought to love our wives, because he compares our love for our wives, our love for our children, as Christ's love for the church. And we all understand Christ's love for the church, do we not? God loved us so much that he sent his son to die for us. Christ, being resurrected from the dead, becomes the head of the church. That's why we're here today. Because of Jesus, amen? God's great love to us. Jesus dies for us. When you were lost and you were challenged with the weight and the penalty of your sin, you saw that Christ was the one who loved you. God loved us so much, he sent Christ. You trust Christ as your Savior. And what does the Bible say? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's Romans chapter 5, verse 5. Now watch this. As we are here today to celebrate and honor our dads, I want us to draw some principles from the role that he plays in our life. The biblical role that he plays in his life. And so, that's my introduction. Well, let's go. There's a handout sheet if you care to follow along. And number one is this. Hey, look at that. I'm doing it. We're going to investigate these several principles. We're celebrating strength. When we celebrate Dad today, we're celebrating strength. Now, I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians. That's where our first point is going to be found. And then we're going to come back into Ephesians here. So you can keep your hand there. 1 Corinthians, chapter 16. And when you get to chapter 16, I want you to look at a very interesting verse. Okay? And really, this verse is found in Paul closing out his letter. That's interesting. Well, what's he doing? He's almost putting an ending on. You know, his endings to his letters were a little longer than mine. Sometimes mine says, sincerely. Sometimes mine says, thanks. And then it just signs off, Dave. Okay? He goes in and he's starting at verse 10. And he says, now if Timothy has come, see that he may be with you without fear, for he worketh the work of the Lord, as I do also. So he's starting to wind this letter down. Now watch this. And then he says this in verse 13. He's talking in military terms right now, and he says, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit you like men. Now that's an interesting passage, isn't it? Quit you like men. Now, we don't talk like that. This is the old King's English. Now, but what's he talking about? He uses the phrase here is this. Stand, act, another translation puts it this way. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. That's what he's talking about. He says, okay, now notice this. In the scriptures, Paul says when he wants to exhibit strength or encourage somebody to be strong, he says what? Act like a man. Act like a man. Isn't that incredible? Why? Because in the Bible, in Ephesians chapter 5, the role of the man is to provide strength to his family. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? That's what it's all about. Now, I don't want you to go home and do this. One of these days I'm going to put a mirror up here. And you look in the mirror and say, well, I really don't look that strong. Well, you know what? I have to admit, I don't either. Now, if I could get this to come up here, but I can't stand around like this all day. And you know what? I just don't think I ought to start wearing a girdle. I just don't think it's all made to be pushed around a lot. I think, you know, just like, I don't know. Karen, she washes my clothes and they shrink all the time. Put on a pair of these shorts the other day. I was over at my father-in-law's building the deck and I thought, well, you know, it's going to be hot. Now, I'm going to tell you a secret about me. When I was a little scrawny guy, and I was a little scrawny guy, right, Bob? Oh, yeah. I used to be 6'2", 150 pounds. Looked like death. All sunken and drawn. Now I just wish I had half of that. I looked at my legs one day when I was probably in fifth grade. White pencil legs. And I said, man, I ain't wearing shorts no more. I didn't wear shorts from sixth grade on until after I got out of college. Because I just couldn't. I think, who wants to look at that? Now, my wife, she told me, she said, man, you got nice looking legs, honey. You ain't looking today, see? Got socks that go up pretty high there. And what was I talking about? Oh, why put these shorts on? And I'm jumping around. You'd think I was putting pantyhose on. And I finally got them buttoned. And you know how denim is? Denim relaxes after a while, right? There ain't enough denim in the world to relax if that ever got right. I said, you know what? Forget that. And I'm thinking, I just wish you wouldn't dry them so hard. That's what it is. I'm sure that's what it is. Well, see, a lot of times what happens is we look at strength. Now, I don't look and see strength, but I'm going to look at my dad, because that's what I was thinking about this week. I was thinking about my dad. And my dad wasn't perfect. My dad was 89 years old, and he got saved 16 days before he died. But I look at dad, and my dad was a picture of strength to our family. He worked hard. He's a truck driver. He loved a garden. And you know what? Everything seemed to be all right when Dad was around. That's the strength. And when we look at the Bible, look what it says. It takes this phrase, the phrase, quit you like men, says a lot about how we are perceived. It means this, is we are to be courageous and be strong. And see, this was a characteristic not only of dads, but it was a characteristic of Paul. He sees the Christian life as though he were in an arena. Faith, conviction, and courage are the essential ingredients for success and victory. And so here's what we're to do, dads. We're honoring you today. And so the next point is this, is we provide strength and courage to our loved ones. That's what we do. You may not think that you fit that role, but you do. You know what the hardest thing in the world is to see? Is to see what you do to a room when you walk into it. Your presence. What does your presence do to any room when you walk into it? That's hard for anybody to see. I'm sitting around, and most of the time I sit around and think nobody sees me. Right? Isn't that you? You sit there and you think, okay, you know. And here you find out that people see you all the time. And they think about that, and it brings an attitude to the room. Amen? Now watch this, dads. You bring an attitude to your family. And you know what? Paul, in writing to the church of Corinth, he was reminding the believers to be strong and be courageous. You know what? In our day, we need to be reminded as men that we need to have courage. Amen? But let me ask you something. When's the last time you made that a prayer request? Lord, help me. Help me to provide strength for my family. Because our family, you know, you think, well, it's just me and Karen. We're empty nesters now. Isn't that wonderful? I think Blake's moved in. He'd like to move in. We got more dinosaurs around the house now, more race cars. We got more kids stuff around the house than when we had kids. But that's the important. You know, if I knew grandkids were so much fun, we'd have had them first, right? Right? Isn't that the truth? You ever hear people say that? But you know what the genius is about that? Yesterday afternoon, about 6 o'clock, we dropped him off. We were empty nesters again, right? But you know, we need to be reminded. I need to be reminded that my life counts. And it counts to my family. Amen? And I need to be praying that God will make me strong and God will make me courageous. Amen? That's what it's all about. And then the next one is this, is we are celebrating love. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. And I sort of let that out of the bag in the beginning. But I want you to notice this. You talk about a husband's role in the family, love. Oh, you know, you think about this as guys are supposed to be big and burly, right? They're supposed to be kind of scruffy, and you get dirty. Man, you know, I haven't gotten dirty for years. I got dirty this weekend. I was down on the ground laying underneath this deck running screws in. And so I even got a couple of blisters. I got a couple ouchies here on my hand. I think I'm going to be all right, though. I'll tell you what, it's been a long time since I went to Lowe's and picked up treated lumber. I'll tell you what, that stuff is heavy. I'm glad they don't sell it by the pound. If you sold it by the pound, you'd really pay through the nose. Wow, pick those things up and it's like, you know what? When I was young, you just pick two or three up, put your shoulder and walk out. It's like I go, let's get the buggy a little closer. Okay? And then I'm thinking to myself, after I get it all loaded up, I got to get it off the truck then. Ay, ay, ay. So, see, I can complain in front of you, but we're celebrating love. Let's look here at this passage again, but let's zero in on a few verses. Let's go to verse 25. This is the tough part, fellas, because I'm talking about your role in the family. Our world today says this, that father is missing. Doesn't it say that? Our world says today, a large part of our problems in our society is dad's missing. Dad doesn't have to be missing. Watch this. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Let's go down now to verse 28. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. I like verse 29 because you can't read 28 without 29. Because here's where Paul really throws the trump card down. He says this, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. I walked around at Wood Mode for 17 years saying, I like me, who do you like? You know, that's a biblical principle. Do you know that? Now listen to that. You say, well, you're twisting the word of God. Paul said, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh. As a matter of fact, I think a lot of times we love ourselves way too much, right? Boy, I'm awful quiet today. Ladies, you ought to be with me on this. You can do that. You ought to say, amen, brother. Preach it. And then at the same time, hit your husband. Listen to him. He's preaching the truth today. I don't know who talks like that in this congregation, but I'm sorry. I am sorry. That's my testimony. But look at that passage. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. And so what we do is this. Paul says, look, you like yourself. You take care of yourself. Oh, there's people out there that say, I don't like myself. And they just do that so people come up and say, oh, no, you're a pretty nice guy. I quit saying that because I get black and blue on my back when people pat me on the back, right? We're not talking about that stuff. We're talking about this. Is that there, every one of us, we take care of ourselves. I like me. Who do you like? Okay? But he says, now, don't hog that for yourself. Share that with your wife. Love your wife as you love yourself. And then he says, you know, as Christ loved the church, which is the ultimate. And so what it is this. Genuine love is not effeminate. We're not talking about being mushy. You know, we talk about, but now I'm going to tell you a secret. Now I want you to listen to me. Real careful here. Fellas, now, you ladies, you think about something else for the next couple minutes because guys might get a little embarrassed here. Did you ever watch a movie, fellas, where you cried? Huh? You ever watch a movie where you cried? Oh, yeah, you sit there and you go, my wife will be watching a movie and she'll say, and I'll sit there and go, man, my allergies are really kicking up right now. Man, my eyes are watering. I guess I better go take another Zyrtec. Right? Oh, yeah. So every once in a while, it breaks through every once in a while. I get a little mushy. I did a wedding last week, and so I'm up in this little church in Mainsburg, and bride got saved in our ministry at Bakerburg when she was 12 years old. And the groom, they started coming to church here a couple years before I left, came down here. Just a wonderful time. Had a great time at rehearsal. I cry at weddings, though. I'm just a crier. That's terrible, isn't it? So I'm branded. I'm effeminate. Right? I didn't walk down the aisle like this with my Bible, but I'm standing up there, and she comes down, and she's crying. And when the bride cries, and I'm sitting there going, get a hold of this, Dave. Always keep a clean hanky, though, to give the bride, right? So, yeah, sometimes we are vulnerable, right? But, you know, you don't have to be effeminate. Look, think about, Jade, when you sang your song today, I was thinking about the prodigal son. I was thinking about the father. I was thinking, no greater love that a father has is to love unconditionally their family. And you know what? There isn't a person in the world that would say that the father of the prodigal son in the scriptures was any way effeminate. Absolutely not. He was the stature of a man. He was strength. He was courage. He was resolve. Yet he was unconditional love. Amen? That's what it is. And that's what we're celebrating today. We are celebrating that love. And so, watch this. Here's the principle. Genuine love takes character. Genuine love takes character. It takes character to reach out and love as Christ loved the church. Because, you know, notice that phrase, as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. That takes character, because that means I got to live for something other than myself. And it's always easy to live for ourselves, is it not? Oh, man, I love living for myself. Right, honey? She had her opportunity. Amen. I keep the keys to the car, though, so just in case. She has a second set, though. She can go. You know, so, hey, see me out in Front Street going like this. Have mercy. Just have mercy on me, say. Run over to Burger King, drop off a bag of food for you. Here, brother, I can't take you with me, but I can feed you, right? Okay, so genuine love takes character. And then number three, we're celebrating leadership. We're celebrating leadership. I already put that up there. I got to watch my time here. I get telling stories and carrying on when I ought to be preaching. Okay, real leadership is not the fact that the husband is to make all the decisions. Because that's what we think leadership is. We think, oh yeah, I'll tell you what. You know what? Just think about this, fellas. If we decorated our homes, what would they look like? Well, I found this old wire cable spool, and I found these old milk cartons. And so we went down to Kmart 27 years ago and bought these lamps. Yep. I remember when I bought the house off of Dad. The electric service was installed in 1957. And it was a 60-amp electric service. You know what I'm talking about? Come on. You know what I'm talking about? Oh, yeah. Well, that's when you had a light bulb in every room, a socket, and if you run a toaster oven and you turn the hair dryer on, it blowed the breaker, right? Oh, yeah. So then you just put a penny in behind it and you screwed that thing right in there. Then you burnt your house down, right? So I went down to Dad and I said, Dad, I got a new electric service in the house. Yep. You know what he told me? Well, that was new. Well, yeah, it was new one time. 1957, I said, let me see. The guy's name was Glass that put it in, one of the Glass boys. I told him all that information. I said, now we got a 200-amp service. And, oh, yeah, but that was new, Davey. Well, yeah, see, that's why Dad never decorated the house. Because I'm tearing apart the back room right now, and I'm finding wallpaper that was put on when the house was built in the 1800s. Oh, yeah, that's incredible. Has little horsies on it and all that stuff. Okay? So, now, leadership. What's leadership? Well, because we're running out of time here, let's just go to that. Real leadership puts the needs of others first. That's what it's all about. That's what real leadership is. What is it? Real leadership is not the fact that the husband is to make all the decisions. That is a perversion of leadership. It is making decisions that are in the best interest of our family. That is what leadership really is. And fellas, I think this is a wonderful day. This is a wonderful day to celebrate these principles. And you know what? It is a great time in history to be a dad, I think. I am so glad that I have people that call me dad. So precious. I'm so glad that I have grandkids that call me grandpa. I just love it. I just love it. And you know what? When we celebrate these things, I could develop this a whole lot more, but let me ask you something, fellas. You know, we live in a work world where you have a boss. And I can remember Blake saying, Grandpa, you're the boss of the family, aren't you? Far from it. Far from it. What it means is this, is that I ought to be the leader of the family. I ought to set the example for the family. I ought to guide my family. And by doing that, I have to look at their needs and understand their needs and put those needs ahead of my needs. Amen? And just a little litmus test for us as dads. Are we willing? Are we willing to change our plans because it'll benefit our family more than us? Think about that. Because that's what real leadership is. I think of Jade's song, and I think of the going back, and I wish I would have brought the lesson of the prodigal son in on this, but we would have needed a whole other lesson. But you know what? That father took time, I believe, every day to stand on his porch and watch for that wayward son. He wasn't done with him, even though he asked for his inheritance. But watch this. That father instilled in that son some real principles of life. Because when he wasted all his substance, he still found and went and got a job. His father taught him how to work. Because his father was an example of all those things. And you know what, men? Today, I want to challenge you with this thought. Are we an example to our families? Are we an example to this church? Are we an example to this community? And are we an example to this world? Because that's what it comes down to. That's what it comes down to. And I will say this. You'll have to go long and hard to hear people talk about this stuff today because the roles of the family are under attack. And when we talk about these things, it makes us uncomfortable. You know why? Because any way that Satan can bring a wedge in our relationship with God and His Word, he's going to do it. Amen? Now, I know I talked to the fellows today and you think that everybody got a free ride. But you know what? All these principles God's called us all to do. He's called us all to be strong. He's called us all to love unconditionally. And He's called us all to lead. Amen? He has. So that others might see Christ in us. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Let's pray.